Somebody's throwing a party. Guess what? I'm throwing another party, y'all. And this one is happening on Halloween. So you bring your costumes, you bring your kids, you bring your joy, and we are going to meet at Sugar Mouse in NYC. That's on the Lower East Side from 4 to 6 p.m. on Saturday, October 25th. That is the Saturday before Halloween. And it's also after your children's nap time, so everyone can come. There will be games. There might be a little costume party catwalk. There are drinks for the adults, of course. And I will be there with my family, so I hope you all show up. The info's in the show notes, and click the link to RSVP, and I'll see you there. Let's go. Let's have a little fun. We deserve it. We really do.
Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to Mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's Mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode and the entire year of episodes is proudly brought to you by California Cryobank. Use code QueerFam25 for a free level 2 subscription to their donor catalog. Let's do it.
The Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
This is an interactive educational tool that I created based on the concepts. And there's actually now a fourth circle, which is the relationship circle. But I don't have a physical model of it here right now. And so this is a way where you can kind of start opening our minds out of the binary, right? Where we're so trained, even in a spectrum, quite literally, is still caught in the binary, right? So going into continuums and understanding like concentric continuums, this idea of infinity within infinity and how that interacts in a toy, in a puzzle, right? It's a tool. So that kids, I've literally witnessed kids and adults just like have their minds open up into this other way of perceiving themselves, understanding the world, each other. And so it's this very magical tool.
Hey, y'all. Hey, welcome to the Queer Family Podcast, the show all about family, but with gay. I'm Jamie. I'm your gay host. And this is the show that highlights, celebrates, uplifts, and normalizes L'Egyptiquois families and all of our fabulous identities. And y'all, this episode is a good one. And I learned some things talking to today's guest that I didn't know before. I got to sit down with Maya Gonzalez. Maya is a genderqueer artist, author, teacher, and parent, and also the creator of The Gender Wheel, which was something I hadn't heard of until I spoke with Maya, and it's a fascinating discussion. I feel like I could sit and talk with Maya for hours and still not download all of her insight and knowledge. It's a great conversation. You're going to love it. I'm excited to share it with you. Before I roll that tape, though, just some updates on what's happening in my life and the Kelwoods clan, as we call ourselves. As you all know, Anne is dealing with her cancer journey. She's got 2 more weeks of radiation. Yay, almost done. And then about a year's worth of infusions to go. But those are way less than how terrible chemo is. So we're in a good place with that. And then I just went and had surgery on my uterus. Ah, the joys of having a uterus. After 10 years, y'all, this is what it's like living as a person in the world with a uterus. This, like, I feel like this, like, sums it up real nicely. After 10 years, y'all, of complaining about severe menstrual pain. Sorry if you're listening and you don't want to hear about this stuff. You're going to hear about it. You can fast forward to the interview. It's just a couple minutes away. But after years of complaining to numerous doctors about severe menstrual pain, cramping, and all the such, a doctor finally said, hey, you know what? Let's give you an MRI. Years, 10 years, y'all, 10 years. So I got that little MRI and they were like, you know what? Kind of looks like you might have endometriosis. But of course, we don't know for sure. We don't know for sure until we go inside you and look. It's so fun having a uterus in this world. So they went inside just last week on Thursday, just recently, and looked. And sure enough, yeah, it's endometriosis. And they took it out. And so I'm waiting to hear from the doctor, like, how successful it was. And then, of course, we won't know. Here's another joy of having a uterus. Of course, we won't know if it actually worked to take away my pain until probably about 2 months from now when I have a couple of cycles and we see how I feel. So that's super fun. Yay, uteruses. But at least, you know, I might have an answer from this long, long search. And if you've been listening to this show, you know I complain of menstrual pain. And hopefully, maybe we got an answer to it. The other thing that's interesting is you all know I spent almost 3 years with unexplained infertility. I couldn't get pregnant. Spent so much money because obviously when you're getting pregnant the gay way, in many cases, because actually not in Maya's case, who's our guest today, but in many cases, you have to spend money to make the babies. I spent a lot of money trying to get through this unexplained infertility. And possibly if the doctor then had said, let's go give you an MRI and make sure everything's okay in there, I might have bypass that whole thing. But I'll tell you what, if I had bypassed that whole thing, that whole struggle, this podcast wouldn't exist. So I guess everything happens for a reason. Anyway, life is lifing for the Kelwoods. Life is lifing. Oh, and my 11-year-old also fractured her ankle recently. So it's been a lot of emergency rooms lately. Anyway, we're doing great, though. We're hanging in just fine. Life is lifing, and that's the way it should be. Am I right? All right, let's get to this episode. I've yammered on way too much about my uterus and all my issues. I hope y'all are doing what you can to take care of yourselves while this world we're living in is on fire. Be sure that you remember to take care of yourselves. Tune out every once in a while. Don't read the headlines maybe one morning. Just do your best. I'm here for you. I love y'all. We're going to make it through. We're going to make it through this no matter what. Life is lifing for all of us right now, regardless of having a uterus in pain or not. All right. Helen Beulah, please roll this tape. Thank you so much. Let's go.
Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
Hi, Maya.
Hi. I'm extremely excited to be here.
I'm so excited to have you. And I was just telling you how cool you look next to me. And so people need to go check out the video because Maya has a look and I am feeling the vibe. I love Maya's look. She's wearing the watermelon earrings. I'm loving every second of this. And actually, I haven't asked your pronouns yet. I'm she, her.
I, in public, use they.
Well, my bad. I said she just a second ago. So they are wearing watermelons. It is a look, and I am feeling it. So, all right, Maya, let's get into your 30-second elevator pitch, because we need the listeners to know who you are. Here we go. On your mark, get set. Go for it, Maya.
My name's Maya Gonzalez, and I am in San Francisco. I am a genderqueer femme. I love that. Chicanx. And I am stunned. I am an artist. I am a publisher. I am an author, a creative. I created the gender wheel approach. I have made tons and tons of books for kids. I'm starting to make more books for grownups. And I believe in freedom, equality, and I'm super excited to be here.
Boom. You did that. You did that in under 30 seconds. Good job, Maya. Good job. And you packed a lot in there. And wait, you created the gender wheel approach?
Yeah, I did.
Can we talk about that?
I would love to talk about that.
Yes, please.
So this is what's interesting is I've been plumbing my soul lately because so much is going on in the world and really looking at my work and why did I create the gender wheel? What was really the compulsion at the time? And ironically, it was becoming apparent. I'll be honest, I didn't want to lie in any way to my kid. And this was a long time ago. This kid is like 20 now. Uh-huh. And so it was a time when we didn't have books, right? Mm-hmm. And I was in mm-hmm. the children's book industry doing multicultural children's books. So I was always kind of on the cutting edge, but I learned, they taught me everything. So I learned how to do all of it. And I started my own press with my partner. And so we started creating our own books. And one of the first ones was actually, I use coloring books a lot in my work to teach because it's more playful and it takes that kind of like educational edge off of things. And our minds open up more. We're in those different kind of states, you know?
Yeah.
And so I started playing with how I wanted to communicate to my kid about our community having trans people. And then in the 90s, right, when a lot of my friends were transitioning or going through expansions, you know, it was really new. It wasn't new, obviously, mm-hmm. but even in our own community, there weren't a lot of us going through mm-hmm. the kind of experiences. And so I didn't know how I was going to communicate this to littles.
Yeah.
And it's like, what am I going to do?
I
really like, I had been a creative, an artist, you know, as a documented Chicanx, you know, artist. And I had this whole life in that. And so when I came into children's books, I really approached them like I did my art, where they were like a healing process, this way to understand myself and to go through some sort of ritual almost. And then the painting was almost like a milepost, a product at the end, but it wasn't really the point. And so when I approached children's books, I did the same thing. So I had this process already in place where I used children's books as a way to heal myself as, you know, a queer Chicanx, as well as how to attend to kids who I knew were going through similar experiences to me. So this was this way when I kind of hit, and I had my own press, I was just like, oh, I could deal with this with my mm-hmm. kid in a way that really works. So it's just like, what am I going to do? So I really relied on what supported me. I was disowned when I came out. My family's homophobia was too great. But what they gave me was exactly what I needed to navigate their homophobia, which was nature, creativity, and spirit. So when I started looking at how I wanted to be a parent in relationship to art community and gender specifically, I started attending to all those pieces and basically without trying to do anything, just kind of intuiting and resting down into the truth of what I understood, created the gender wheel. And it was a time when the genderbread model didn't exist. There were no models, really. We didn't talk about gender yet.
We didn't talk about gender at all. There was no in between. There was nothing. It was this or it was that, and that was it. And that's not that long ago.
No. But now we're becoming I'm a baby elder, right? And so having gone through the 90s, you know, and really having that front seat, witnessing people transition and grappling with all of that unknown at that time. And we had history, you know, community and stuff like that. But even within the queer community, really, as we know, maligned. And so it was this interesting thing to know how to communicate in a way to a child that was very respectful, very holistic, very inclusive, very experiential, right? Because I had witnessed so much. And this is the gender wheel.
Talk us through it. Yeah.
This is actually just a piece of it. This is an interactive educational tool that I created based on the concepts. And there's actually now a fourth circle, which is the relationship circle, but I don't have a physical model of it here right now. And so this is a way where you can kind of start opening our minds out of the binary, right? Where we're so trained, even in a spectrum, quite literally, is still caught in the binary, right? So going mm-hmm. into continuums and understanding like concentric continuums, this idea of infinity within infinity and how that interacts in a toy, in a puzzle, right? A tool. So that kids, I've literally witnessed kids and adults just like have their minds open up into this other way of perceiving themselves, understanding the world, each other. And so it's this very magical tool, you know?
Yeah.
And yet it's completely based also in science. Like yeah. I've done like horrendous amounts of research. So it's rooted in the biology of what actually happens, why we are, what I think is basically intersex based, and that that's the foundation. And then we move through that, and that we're pansexual, right? All these different ways that we are. And that inside also we have, you know, we're completely infinitely diverse. And so how do we communicate that and make sense of that within a system that has forced us within a binary, right? How do we create that bridge and talk to kids about it?
For the listeners at home, how does the wheel work? I think this needs to be in every classroom. That's what I think.
Darling. I have tried. So this is what's interesting and why I'm going through this moment where I have really tried and I have worked. But there's something going on where I have noticed this now is that nature-based frameworks of looking at gender, even from within the queer community, have a very difficult time getting traction. For mm-hmm. some reason, we're very much caught in, I think, understanding ourselves within the current ideology, which becomes very mental. And this is really about embodiment. This is really about coming into right relationship with nature. It's about exploring ourselves in this deeper way. And so I feel like the culture is kids are great. Kids get it.
Yeah.
This is how I've raised my child. This is why I created this, so that I could raise my kids, right? And they are both incredibly empowered, gender-free people.
I love this.
And they can see through the culture, right? Because they understand what's really true.
And the wheel is the tool. The wheel is the key. Like, I feel like I am so, like, I know so much, like, but I don't. Talking to you, Maya, I'm like, oh my God, I'm so far behind. I need to go outside right now and connect with a tree. Like,
I mean, we all do, though. That's the trick,
right? True.
It's not any one of us. It's like all of us.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about the wheel.
And everything moves, right? And it all comes apart. So this helps us kind of understand, right? So I always begin with spirit. Well, actually, I begin in different ways, depending on kind of people's focus. But for myself, I often begin with spirit because this is the center place. It's like before we're born, after we pass, it's where we all somehow, and I don't need to know
right.
what everyone knows or thinks. I respect that we all have our different ways and I get that, but we all something here.
Something there. I love that. Yes. It's all something there. That it's the tiniest circle in the middle.
This is the beginning of that oneness. And so much of this work is around unity, but with diversity. So it's in our diversity, we find our unity. So we begin as this oneness. And because then as children, as little spirits even, like coming into life, right? We immediately sung this song of gender. You know, she, girl, 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 boy, boy, boy. And it's this constant thing. And that we're aware of pronouns before sometimes we're aware of anything else
yeah.
about ourselves on any deep level. So this first circle is about acknowledging the culture that we're born into. And so this is the pronoun circle. This one can actually be removed because the gender wheel works for all species, right? And I don't know whales, if they use pronouns, they may, but
this
circle is just for us right now.
Right.
And then we move into the inside circle. So this would be what we would call gender, but because this goes for all beings, we call it the inside circle, because all beings have an inside sense of self in some way. They may not have a conscious sense of gender, what we think of as gender. They have a sense of self, and it brings them to behave in different ways, intuitively, authentically, right? And then the next one is the body. Mm-hmm. And so it has everything all the way around, and nothing's placed randomly. Everything is placed in a very conscious continuum. So, for example, we go from, like, let's say a female assigned body to a trans body to an intersex body to a male assigned body back to a trans body to an intersex body.
Mm-hmm.
And when you become more familiar with it, you start seeing how all of these things flow naturally into each other. And that we can understand, even within like bodies that we consider like what we call cisgender today, huge variation.
Yeah.
So what we do is we take that huge variation concept and we just extend it out to include everyone. And we put everyone in that same kind of concept. And we can see the variations in bodies and then the variations in how those bodies feel to people as well. And then on the outside circle, which I just started including, is the relationship circle. And this one I haven't included until recently because I've worked only with kids. Mm-hmm. And so this was really to talk about bodies and sense of self with kids. And we didn't need to talk about relationships yet. But as my work extends out, then I'm starting to include what was always there, which is how we then express ourselves in relationship to others.
Right.
And so these two circles, basically the body and the insight circle, then are reflected in the relationship circle. So I never say if a relationship is gay or straight or whatever. And a lot of times people would see, oh, that's a straight relationship because of da-da-da. Oh, that's a gay relationship because of da-da. It's like, I don't care. Right. I'm just showing you what occurs. You know,
with
so that we have all that variation included. And so that's where nature and science kind of come together and spirit kind of holds everything. So there's this constant holistic and non-judgy kind of thing. It's just like, this is what is.
This
and
is
we're not
what
saying,
is.
You know, this is right, this is wrong. This is just what is and is documented.
Right there. That statement right there. This
right.
is what is. I feel like I need a whole week long seminar with you, Maya, to like to like really get all of it, right? Because I feel like you're just touching on the surface of this deep, deep wealth of things that you have worked. It seems like a lifetime towards understanding.
Can they make it worse? AKA better.
Yes.
So the really cool part is I do actually have a training. It's a 9-hour training and I barely scratch the surface.
I can believe it.
Oh, it's so fun because so often I get queers, right? And it's just this like this feeling of just like a lot of times people will say, you know, this intuitively, it's like I feel like I knew this and yet it's all new. And so there's this interesting sort of push-pull of like rightness and our own sense of, I think, belonging that comes up. And so what my next piece was, once I had this, right, I'm just like, well, why? Why? Why don't we know this? Even why do trans people exist? Why do queer people exist? Like all my questions that, you know, kids. Like,
yeah.
I'm just like, why? So I started digging into the story underneath it. I was just like, so the gender wheel has always existed within the story. I've never seen it without the story, I guess, when I first started teaching it 15 years ago. But then I deepened it and I went and I dug under and excavated. I was just like, so why do we live in the current system? We do. And we hear patriarchy, right? We hear mm-hmm. binary, you know, all the words. But I wanted to understand what was going on that this was happening right now. So again, I'm like this super research nerd. And I went back and I was like, it seems that there's some kind of shift that happened. Because if you look at a lot of the older, like Maria Gimbutas and like the matriarchal, what they call matriarchal, there was no such thing as matriarchy. It was actually egalitarian. But there were very many assigned female bodies that were like the leaders,
yeah.
the guides, the spirit, you know. How did that change? What happened? Why do we find this in the super ancient? And then there's almost like this divide mm-hmm. and then something happens. And I kept looking at it and I started pulling things apart. And I did a lot of queer research. That's amazing to have so many queer scholars. And the younger Dryas was this horrendous geographic, like the whole world was impacted by this weather event. Like some places flooded, and we have all these flood stories, some places froze, da, da, da. Trauma, like horrendous trauma. And I'm like, wow, patriarchy reminds me of trauma.
Mm.
And we know that, right? So I started looking at that and how trauma starts. And I was like, so if we had all these folks, and we're just going to say for, you know, kind of coolish, right? Taking care of each other, egalitarian, whatever. There are signs in Europe of like no war, no ideas of war for like many centuries, millennia, you know, and then all of a sudden war. Right?
Yeah.
It's like, what was that? I was like, I have this theory that when this horrendous event happened, like everything died, right?
Uh-huh.
Like everything, that this protect the egg, protect the species kind of thing kicked in. And so I think this sort of like protecting the assigned females that gave birth happened. But I think eventually this kind of traumatic response of protect the females turned into control.
Huh.
And fear.
Yeah.
That something wasn't going to work out and that I have to protect the egg now. And that this fear and turned into trauma unprocessed because it went on for like 1300 years. It was just like really long term. And so I feel like there's this huge, because there was like some kind of huge shift from this whole other way of thinking that was nature based and all these different bodies and, you know, queer, trans, intersex people and, you know, everything that seems normal to indigenous communities that still exist today.
Yeah.
Right. To all this trauma and hyper control and dominating females. Like, what is that?
Yeah.
So I just kept looking at that and how that kind of took root and eventually became a culture, right? And became an empire. And then I tracked literally through Rome what happened and why they did it and why they stopped allowing these kind of religions and these kind of beliefs and these kind of leaders to exist and how they had permeated the early church because it was so normal at the time and how they had to drive that out. Like it's this whole, like it's all in front of our nose, right?
It's but crazy.
It's been hidden so much.
So how do we get out of it?
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, I think that's the beginning and why. So what I do here, I forgot who I was for a minute. And then this morning I was like, oh, I got to get my books. So I teach, I create all these books, right?
They, she, he, free to be. I'm just reading it for the people who are just listening. They, she, he, easy as ABC. Oh, I love that. And they're all inclusive. I love it.
So these were the beginning of trying to pass on to kids because I was a parent, right? So I wanted to know, how do I talk to kids about this? And so I started creating these different books so that this is a little bit older than those first two,
the gender wheel.
So this kind of goes into talking about the wheel a little bit, not like the history as much. I just barely touch on the history, but more about the wheel.
Because it's for littles, because it's for kids, right?
So I would say this is like seven. I mean, you can go younger, especially if your kid is having a gender diverse experience in comparison to the dominant culture. But otherwise, if you're just getting your kid like aware, just be, you know, start having those conversations early. So I would say like 5, 7, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the tool, the books, we have cards because we're really into playing and how to keep kids in an open, free mindset and kind of from closing in on that binary really about themselves and about other people so that we can. What's the first thing that like we even teach kids with pronouns is they're assumption based. So how do we sort of take that apart? So that we expand, which is part of why I'm probably overloading you.
No, I mean, you have a lot of information to impart. I'm sticking with you. I'm doing my best, but we really do need like a week, I think, because.
I know. I have schools. I like a Patreon thing where I've opened up my own school. I have these trainings that I've been doing. This is why I can speak so much. Because I've been doing these trainings, which is interesting. So I've been doing these trainings and they're like, they're super deep and intense and stuff, but it's a lot and life is so much right now.
Oh my God.
So we're expanding into how do we teach grownups in the same playful way that we've been teaching kids. So like we did this one, which we're going to be doing it again, I think in October, which is called Escape the Boxes.
Mm.
And it's a way to use the escape room format. You know that?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
We just get a kick out of those kind of things. It's just so fun. And so we use that format and we get to do it in person here. And so we're using that format to basically like teach something and then put it to use in this escape room format and then teach you a little bit more and then escape this next thing. So it's kind of like playfully implementing and embodying so much of what I teach is around how do we embody this? So like bringing in the information in different ways.
Love this. Oh, this is all going to be in the show notes so that people can like learn more and join your Patreon and learn all the stuff and maybe go to this escape room. It's going to be in San Francisco, I'm assuming.
Well, it's going to be in San Jose, actually.
Oh, okay. Well, Bay Area.
Yeah, Bay Area.
We'll be right back.
Y'all.
If you are a queer parent, and I have a feeling you might be, and you're dreaming of the ultimate family getaway, you have to check this out, y'all. Gays with Kids is hosting their 5th annual LGBTQIA+ Family Spring Break from April 2nd through April 6th, 2026. Mark that on your calendars. It is going to be the perfect mix of fun, community, and a beautiful chance to build real connections with other LGBTQIA families, like mine, because we're going to be there. We're going to be there too, and I want to see you there. This is it going to be 3 nights aboard Royal Caribbean International, cruising through the Bahamas, surrounded by other amazing queer families. If this sounds like your kind of trip, because it does for me, you're going to head to the link in the show notes to grab your spot. Oh, and don't forget to mention that you heard about it from the Queer Family Podcast. And come say hi to me when you're there. Okay, I hope to see you there. Let's get on with this show.
You know that feeling when your day finally slows down and you just want to relax, unplug, and feel good? That's where Mood.com comes in. They're changing the game, delivering legal THC products right to your door, no shady dealers, and absolutely no medical card required, just good vibes and better sleep, shipped straight from their farm to your couch. From delicious THC gummies, smooth vape pens, to premium THC flower, Mood has it all. And everything's federally legal under the 2018 Farm Bill. Yeah, this isn't some loophole. It's the real deal. Head to Mood.com and use code FIRST20 for 20% off your first order. That's MOOD.com. Find your mood.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Podcast, love is love.
Just wanted to drop in real fast to mention my promo code with California Cryobank. You're going to use code QueerFam25 to get a free level 2 subscription to their donor catalog. Why California Cryobank? Well, one of the reasons is I absolutely love them. I use them to make my family, and I think you might love them too. You also might want to choose them because they've been an industry leader for almost 40 years. They combine the world's most comprehensive selection of stringently screened sperm donors with extensive quality control, a highly trained staff, I know because I spoke to them numerous times, and valuable post-conception services to offer the most complete sperm banking experience available. I was really happy with them. I think you will too. So go to cryobank.com, use code QueerFam25, that's QUEERFAM25, and you're going to get a free level 2 subscription to their donor catalog. You can also use that code for a discount on a level 3 subscription, which gives you even more information about the donors. Go make those babies and then come tell me about them. Okay.
Love is love.
There's so much more we could touch on here, but I do also want to know about your family and your family building journey. And I've heard a little bit about your kiddos, but I would love to hear a little bit more. Like, when, how did it all begin? And how did your family come to be? And I know there's a story here and I'm very excited to hear it.
Of course, there's drama.
Of course.
I personally just, I don't think I ever thought I would be a parent. It wasn't like something I was driven to do, something that I like. Kids seemed kind of like amazing and foreign to me in a way. And then I met my fairy goddaughter and they opened my eyes to like, oh my God, here's this whole other group of people that like to play the way I like to play and do similar things. And like, we have a similar thing. And so just like something shifted. So it was interesting because then I still personally did not want to have kids, but I kept partnering with people who did.
Ah, like you didn't want to physically have kids or you just still didn't just want to be a parent?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like that was just like this thing where I was just like, I don't know. So I was actually in a partnership and we partnered with another person. So we were a three.
Mm-hmm.
And we tried to get pregnant for a while. And I had been with this person for a pretty long time, but things were, of course, a little bit shaky. And so we tried and we tried and it didn't work. And then my partner was trying and then this other person was trying.
This is baby dancing the natural way. This is not like trying with a turkey baster,
no, this
as
is
I like to say.
Baster.
This is turkey baster.
Totally turkey baster. This is money. This is all of the frozen.
This is the details.
And like having to drive home and warm things up. And oh my God, all of that.
Maya, these are the details we want. Yes. So the three of you decided to try together. And you got sperm from a bank or you got sperm from a known donor?
Bank. Total bank.
Total bank.
I wish that's the way. But it didn't work. We tried and tried. Went through all our money.
Tried at home insemination.
Right. Like nothing worked.
And you were trying between the three of you even.
Right.
And it
Not
didn't
me.
Work.
I was actually sick at the time. So it doesn't work. But I have this really, really, really good friend. Beautiful, Italian, gay, close, spiritual, everything. I'm like, would you ever? And they were like, yeah, sure.
Love that.
We didn't do it in a doctor's office.
Oh.
Which, I don't know. I'm assuming you know. Never do that. Always include a doctor. Never do it at home without these different papers signed and da-da-da. Because
you didn't
when the emotionality started getting in, because this was a long time ago, right?
Yeah.
So nobody was doing this.
No.
It was like insane. There were no three-parent adoptions. Like, we were still trying to push on all these boundaries. Like, nobody was even touching on.
It was still the three of you. Oh, my goodness. Okay.
So it was this whole wild thing.
Because now it's four people. Because now you have this known donor in the and you didn't talk it through yet.
But at the time, it was agreed that they weren't going to be involved at all.
Right, but you didn't sign any papers.
We didn't sign any papers. Those were like back when we were just like wild and free and just like, you know, let's do this. We're all cool. And I had a life like that, right? Very queer, very alternative. Nobody wants us to have kids. We'll find our way, da, da, da. And even lawyers at the time had a hard time touching us.
Right. And also, like, there were probably lawyers who wouldn't.
Even here.
Yeah, even in San Francisco. And what years was this happening?
Well, this was actually the early 2000s at this point.
Oh, okay.
So it was starting to shift.
Yeah, but still.
It's hard to even explain sometimes how.
It's eons away from where we are today. Eons away. And yet we still have so far to go.
And things are going backwards, right?
I know. Oh, so scary.
I mean, we're in San Francisco, New York, so there's almost like these bubbles around us a little bit, but stuff is changing.
Stuff is very scary.
Yeah.
Stuff is so scary. So you were doing it at home. You were doing it at home and you were turkey bastering it with your known donor now, but y'all didn't write anything down and you didn't sign anything. And so emotions started to.
So then the donor ended up wanting to be much more involved and kind of found their way in. And then my partner and I started having difficulties and we ended up breaking up soon after the baby was born. The baby was born so cute, so absolutely phenomenal at home in the water. I mean,
mm-hmm.
You can't deny the
they rip you
power
open.
And everything and the power. And I think that's where the story really like starts to shift is like the power of this being. I was like, I can't lie. I can't misrepresent my community, the world. I have to have a way to talk to them about gender, about bodies, about nature, about how valuable and necessary we are as queer, trans, intersex people, about like this other narrative just started brewing in me. And so the family came apart.
Yeah.
The connection with that child changed me and continues to change me right now. They're in college and everything. And I was driven out of the family because my partner that I ended up with is trans. And so then that became this huge issue. And so transphobia is just really active within our
community.
It was
an issue even with your, the co-parents.
Yeah. Yeah, it was the thing they used to drive me out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that's been this other narrative that I've held and understood about how transphobia really like is this undercurrent within our community and how to attend to that. Because I know, just like my parents who disowned me and like folks within the community who then disowned me, like I know they're good people with good hearts in right. some way, right? And so how to give them tools to be the good people they are.
Right.
How to take out all of that judgment and that morality and that fog, that haze of the patriarchy, and how it damages, quite literally damages our hearts, our relationships, our connections with people, with our kids, with each other.
It's heavy. So you had the baby, and there are two babies.
So then I partnered.
Wait.
So, before
we get to number two, let's finish the first one. So baby was born, and then you broke up with your partner. Was this the partner who had given birth?
No, thank goodness.
So you were more partnered with the one that had the third partner.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So you break up with partner, but the partner who had given birth, who stayed with baby? How did it all work out?
So everyone stayed together, but me.
But you.
They got rid of me.
So they ousted you. So then how did you stay? Were you able to stay in the baby's life?
I stayed in the child's life until they were 11. And then they got really aggressive with me.
The kids or?
No, the parents, the other co-parents got super aggressive with me. And this child had only ever known me as a parent. And they started painting me as this stranger.
Oh.
And doing this a lot of mental health issues and, you know, things like that going on. So I get put into this place. The irony is that we live in San Francisco, and we lived, where I moved was literally an apartment in between two of the parents, the donor and my ex. And so the kid would go and be out in the neighborhood.
Oh, wow.
Going to school, going to something. And so as they got older, we would have these clandestine meetings on the street and keep our connection open. It was just heartbreaking and beautiful.
Yeah.
At the same time. And now that they're in college, we are allowed now to actually be in more contact.
Oh,
and
wow.
Patience is amazing. I will joke, you know, life is long.
That's crazy, though. That's hard because not only did the two other partners stay together, but donor got to be a part of this whole situation.
Now all of them are apart.
Oh, now they're all.
Now that the kid is gone, they're all apart.
Right. But they all got to stay as parents.
Right.
I'm doing quote unquote. And they ousted you. That's, I'm always talking about how amazing Chosen Family is and how amazing it is that we get to bring so many people into our children's lives. And every once in a while I hear a story where something went sour and that makes me so sad because we have the capacity to do this so well as queer folks with our families and how we're so lucky that we get to bring more people into our children's lives. And it's always my opinion that it's the more the merrier, the more the merrier, the more people to love my child, the better. That makes me sad for you.
But the cool thing is,
yeah,
the person I got together with after that.
Oh, yeah. Now let's get into this one. Okay.
They were super close with my kid already.
Oh, that's nice.
So I get together with them. Their dads are gay.
Nice.
My partner is trans. They have the baby. Our current kid.
Oh, your partner.
Still kid.
Oh,
I have now. I have a 12-year-old.
And did you create the baby together?
Yes.
Oh, okay. And so how'd you go about that? How'd that come about?
Turkey baster again.
Nice.
Gotta love a turkey baster.
From a sperm bank?
Yeah. Now I was super smart, really savvy, even though, you know, we were like totally great and everything. And, you know, his dads are gay. And so completely different situation.
Yeah.
But his dads went through stuff when he was a kid. You know, where they weren't allowed, him and his partner weren't allowed to see the kids for a pretty long period of time.
Oh.
And so this kind of, it's interesting to see sort of this almost like generational healing within the family And so it's been an interesting thing. And I'll be honest with you, to have the gender wheel is very stabilizing. Like, it's one of those things is I watch really because, you know, we know that our community navigates stress. We know that we are like really severely oppressed and that we often eat our own, as I say, and that that can be part of what we have to navigate. And that if not our own, then others eating us. And so how to just like keep our knees bent and our hearts open and understand that these are folks that are, we have to have compassion for, you know, that they're really struggling with what has been put on us unnaturally, you know, by the dominant system. And so how to hold that story, like that's what I needed to hold. I couldn't just have this dramatic life and not get something good out of it, right? I had to get some sort of extra good cookie. And I think it is this story of being able to kind of see through. And, you know, people joke with me that sometimes I see too much of the good in people.
You do see the good in people. I see that.
I think it is this, that we've been damaged by the system and that people are at heart really good.
And when you say we, you're talking about everyone, not just the queer community. You're talking about having empathy for those who would oppress us even, which is very hard right now, to be honest.
This right. is very difficult, but I think we have to, and because my work at heart is about peace. How do we create peace? You know, in this world, it just, I feel, and sometimes I'm like, why am I talking about gender right now?
Hey.
And I think it is because of these fundamental places where we divide each other into groups and decide and judge and all of it.
It's the boxes. It's the boxes. I talk about it all the time. The boxes are going to be the death of us. We're in so many boxes. Like, get out of the boxes, folks.
And how do we start talking to kids about that? Right? It's like, so I don't know if you can see this, but
this is an illustration. Did you draw? Is this your artwork?
Yeah, this is.
Oh, my God.
Did I mention that? I started off as an artist.
Yes.
And then I got involved in children's books.
The gender and infinity. And so that was a picture of children breaking out of boxes.
Right. And so it's like,
look at that.
It talks about, I go through and talk about, you know, all these, just like, how do we get involved in just sort of the deliciousness of nature and all of the reality of what's actually going on. Like, it's great to understand that there are stories about, you know, Nemo and the clownfish being, you know, all their gender journeys. And there's like, what, over 500 fish that are documented as gender transforming and you know, 1500 queer trans, da, da, da. You know, it's great to know those stories. But if we don't understand what to do with them, you know, they don't have as much meaning. And right. So I've gone through and looked at the patterns that are happening in nature to see what's going on. Like I said, science nerd, but also kind of weird artist, holistic nerd, where it's just like when we start looking at the patterns in nature, mm-hmm. like quite literally all bodies do everything they can to reproduce and to experience whatever they need to in the world. There are no boundaries. That's not how nature functions, right?
Yeah.
Everything is always a creative continuum. That's how we evolve and keep moving forward. It's just natural patterns. And so this looks at all of nature's patterns and puts us in them. It's uh-huh. like, oh, well, we're part of that too. So it puts kids all within nature, da da da, and how cool it is to be part of all this. And then it goes like into the boxes, where we start feeling that pressure. Like all of that amazingness is forced to fit in these teeny weeny tiny little boxes. And that it begins, you know, even when somebody's pregnant, where it's just like here, as soon as they're there, they're just like, oh, are you having a boy or a girl kind of thing.
Yeah.
Right. And then what that does to us, right? Where, you know, I am genderqueer femme. I am a total drag queen, hardcore. And yet I often have to look at all the conditioning that I was put through. Oh, be small and weak, you know, be delicate, be friendly, be smiling, always nice, you know, like just taking that stuff apart.
So hard. It's like, it's impossible. It's so hard. It's so hard.
So that you get down to you.
Yeah.
To like who, if none of this overlay, all the privilege, all the, all of the taking your cookies away, right? All the harm that could happen. You know, if all of that did not exist, who would you be?
I don't even know, Maya. I don't even, like, it really is so deep. It's just in the air we breathe. It runs so freaking deep. And I tell this all the time, this story of, so my wife gave birth to our first, she had our first kiddo.
How many kids do you have?
We have two.
Right on.
And then I gave birth to our second. And when we found out that he was a boy, and I freaked out. Like, it's just in, like, it's these boxes and these labels that we put, it goes both ways, right? Like, I have issues with masculinity. I have issues with men, right? And so when I found out I was holding a boy in my body and was going to have to raise a boy, I freaked the fuck out. Like, I was so scared. I didn't know what to do with that. And if we could just get rid of this soup that we sit in, life would be so. And now I come to find, like, I have him, and he is the light of my life. He's everything to me, and it doesn't matter that he's a boy. I don't care what, right? And I feel like I'm doing so much work to work out of the get out of the binary and get myself through that. And it just runs so deep. And I'm somebody who wants to get out of it, and it's that hard for me. Right? So you're doing the work. You're doing the good work to, like, try and get the messages out there to everyone. But, like, it is a monumental feat to unlearn this shit we've been fed, basically.
Okay, let me nerd out again.
I love it. Nerd out.
You're giving voice to this part of us that has been threatened so deeply, and not just like queer, trans, intersex folks, but also everyone else, that they conform, that they, like, comply to these roles, to this, like, false truth that has been written into everything, right? That it's turned into this survival instinct and this trauma response. And this is where I feel like we have to attend to it, not like it's an intellectual thing. Oh, I don't get it. Oh, I this or I that, or I just need to have, you know, understood this, like, where we're hard on ourselves in some way, where we actually have to, and this is the part that's so trippy, where my work, I'm like, oh, yes, it's this, but it's also this, and it's also this. Because at core, right, then it's about healing trauma, right? And how that actually lands in our bodies and our hearts, and how we then attend to that. And we interrupt that. It's not just about using the right pronouns, asking the right questions, being in inclusive spaces. You know, all these things are awesome in their own ways, right? It's that, how have we quite literally been impacted in our psyche and our spirit by this going on for millennia, and our ancestors, 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 you know? And then we start understanding how valuable our QTI ancestors are. Like, oh my God, we have always found a way to be ourselves, to find that path through, you know, how do we spread, you know, something that holds that as sacred. Because it is, and that's sacred. Okay, I'll tell you one more story.
Go for it. I love it. Because
this is a great opportunity to get it out, right?
Yeah.
This is why, because I'd be like, so as I looked, everything was based on more or less this, like, mother, great mother tradition in the ancient past, right? Because these were the bodies that gave birth. These were the bodies that perpetuated life. This is how they symbolized nature itself. Right. And that makes sense to us, right? The earth is quite literally producing all the time, creative power. So I was like, why, throughout all these different traditions, throughout a large area, this wasn't isolated to one area, this was spread throughout vast areas, where the devotees of these goddess traditions, these mother, great mother traditions, so often what we would call today trans women, like, what is that there? The Gali, you know? I'd be like, I don't understand. And I kept sitting with it and sitting with it. I was like, I gotta know. Why? What is this? And then it dawned on me. It's like, queer, trans, intersex people, we have always been that piece of nature that survives, that weaves through and always shows the mystery, always shows the continuum, that everything is connected. Nothing is ever binary. It is always connected. And we embody it. right? We're quite literally an embodiment of everything we see in the plants, in the animals, in the birds, in the fish. Like, we are that embodiment. And so it just, I was like, that's why QTI people were sacred. Because yeah. they were the physical embodiment of that opening. Man, it's not just about reproduction. It's about that mystery of self. It's about spirit, which is why it's called the gender wheel, because I couldn't call it the spirit wheel.
There's like so much in this. And what I'm taking away from that story is that's why QTIs, which is how you use that. That's a new term for me, actually, QTI. QTI folks and all of us in the LGBTQIA, as yeah, I like to say it, in the LGBTQIA umbrella, are better.
Oh my God. I say that almost daily. I was like, see, we're superior.
We are the more evolved. We are the more superior. I am down with this. Yes. And yes. And yes. And it's like, True. It runs so, like, we could talk about this for days. I mean, I feel like I could listen to you talk about this for days. I can tell we have barely scratched a surface here with your wealth of research and the knowledge you bring about this, all of this. It's like fascinating. I'm fascinated by you right now.
It's so funny. I joke, I say I'm the lucky dog that gets to sit on the porch, right, and rest, because I feel like this is, it's not me, right? It's not me. It's, I just see it.
Well, you do a lot of work to see it. So I wouldn't necessarily call you the lazy dog. Yeah. All of the books that you have just shown throughout this interview, everybody needs to get them and everybody needs to know you and find you and learn from you. So where can everybody find you and where can everybody find your books? And if you were to recommend, this is selfish on my part, if you were to recommend the first book to get for a 7-year-old, give me a recommendation of one of your books and all the things. I know that's hard. You don't have to pick a baby.
So I'm Maya Gonzalez. You can always find me, mayagonzalez.com. But you can also find a lot of free resources, and all of our resources kind of land in the genderwheel.com.
Okay.
And our press is called reflectionpress.com. So all roads ultimately lead to one another.
Perfect. And this will all be in the show notes of this, linked in the show notes so folks can find it. Yeah. And then, books.
My first thought is the Gender and Infinity book for kids is a really great way to just kind of open the conversation and start expanding the mind. Because what I found, like how we raised our kid, is that we constantly queered everything and everyone we saw all the time. It took some doing. But it was a way to just like always break down assumptions. So,
and what do you mean by we constantly queered? Like,
well, for example, we were at a museum once and there was a snail in the garden and some kid was like, oh, da da da, mommy snail. But you know where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
And I just immediately fly into this thing with my kid. Well, we know da 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 about snails because snails actually da da da, right?
Right.
And this is their conversation around that. And so it's important for us to not ever think that there's like a mommy snail or a daddy snail, because that's not true of snails. And so we don't want to put that on snails.
I love it.
And so this is a way to just kind of really slowly start opening that conversation up.
I love this. This is
and
great.
The kids are all these kids that are in everything I have. And so this one, where you go and you look at all the kids. So like these ones have they, but you don't ever get stuck in an assumption about what they looks like.
Right.
Or even she. It's just like we don't ever make assumptions like about what he looks like.
Right.
It's like he could look all these different ways.
Any which way, yeah.
So it was this way that from a very young age, we started like this one we published when they were 4, because we literally needed it in hand. We're just like, okay, remember, this is what, and our kid is so cool. They're just like so chilla and so open. And they're also fluid, right?
Yeah.
And they have a complete, and I think this is what we're seeing in young people now, is they have a completely different way of looking at it. It's like, oh, I'm everything. I'm me. I'm all, you know, I am this. Oh, I'm this now. Now I'm this. And it's just like, yeah,
amazing.
That's right. That is that's what the gender wheel taught me.
Amazing.
And I see that play out. So
the younger generation is going to change the world. I fully believe it. They really are. They've come so much further than where we were.
We did our best.
We did our best. And I'm still doing my best. We're still trying, right? Yeah, it's really awesome. So I'm going to go shopping for some of your books right now. I have so many. My poor kids. It's like, it's just all queer books.
I know. Sometimes I'll ask my kid, I said, do you need any queer support? You know, support? And I'm like, no, I'm good.
I got it. I got enough. So many, but I'm going to add more because this is what we do. Because these conversations are super important, like the conversation about the snail. Like this is the kind of stuff that us queer parents are doing regularly. Really, our kids are going to be the ones that change the world.
Which was that was our job.
Yeah.
It was them.
Right.
Right. And this part with them, because we didn't get it.
We're changing the narrative. We're rewinding the narrative and changing it and moving it forward. So this has been amazing.
Thank you so much, Jamie. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. This is so great. Okay. You're a friend forever now. So you're part of my community. So
thank you.
Anything you ever need, I'm here for you. Whatever you want. If you have a new book coming out, let me know. I can talk about it. All the things, because I adore you.
Sweet. Thank you.
This is so awesome. Thanks, Maya.
Queer Family Podcast.
A special thank you once again to California Cryobank for being a sponsor of this episode. Use code QueerFam25 for a free level 2 subscription to their donor catalog. And tune in next week for another amazing episode of Queer Family Goodness.
Love is love.
Whew. Well, folks, I hope you enjoyed that episode as much as I enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy it, feel free to listen to another or watch another. I have so many episodes for your listening or viewing pleasure. Just go pick one and enjoy. There's a lot. There really is. And also, if you really do like this show, please, I know I say it all the time, but please do consider supporting the show on Patreon. You're just going to go to patreon.com/thequeerfamilypodcast. You're going to pick a tier. You're going to join and you're going to get that bonus content. And you're also going to get my love and adoration for the rest of my life. I love you all. Thanks for tuning in. Keep on tuning in. And I'll see you next time. Mwah.
Are you the one keeping everything together in your family, but maybe you're secretly or not so secretly falling apart?
Dude, you are not alone. We have been there too.
I'm Joanne.
And I'm Bree. And we're the hosts of the No Guilt Mom podcast.
If your to-do list never ends, your kids depend on you for everything, and you're constantly putting your own needs last.
Or if you're the go-to parent, but you're starting to feel burnt out and resentful, we're here to help.
Each week, we give you practical strategies from parenting and psychology experts and from our own real mom experience to help you take back time, energy, and joy.
So you can stop feeling like you're the family martyr and start leading as a confident, guilt-free role model.
Subscribe to the No Guilt Mom podcast and let's help you ditch the overwhelm and actually enjoy your family again.
Listen now wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Are you moving through adolescence with your kiddo, navigating the fear and worry that comes with this season of parenting? The Joyful Courage podcast for parents of teens is what you've been searching for. Real conversations about real challenges. Lying, screens, school, risky behavior, I cover it all. My name is Casey O'Rourke. I'm a positive discipline lead trainer and parent coach. I put shows out each week that reframe the messy terrain of the teen years and leave listeners feeling seen and hopeful. Check out Joyful Courage wherever you listen to podcasts.